Psalm 91, as I mentioned, is, I believe, one of the great psalms. It's my second favourite psalm, and I just felt that this is what God had laid on my heart this evening to share with you. I've entitled my talk, Safety in a Dangerous World. Some of you, maybe most of you, will know the name Jim Elliot. And Jim Elliot made this famous statement back in 1955. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. On January the 6th, 1956, Jim Elliot and four of his missionary friends were speared to death on a sandbank in a remote area of Ecuador. The five men were trying to reach a violent tribe of headhunter Indians in the remote rainforest with the gospel of Jesus Christ. All five were young men, aged between 27 and 32. When Elizabeth Elliot, Jim's wife, wrote a book to tell their story some years later, she chose the words of Psalm 91. The title of her book was Shadow of the Almighty. She followed it up with another book, Through Gates of Splendor. So why would anyone choose to describe the tragic murder of her husband and his four missionary friends with the very psalm that promises to protect such people? Well, you're going to have to wait to the end of my talk for me to tell you. Psalm 91 also has the unusual distinction of being the only passage of scripture we know Satan has quoted. Satan quoted Psalm 91 verses 11 to 12 to Jesus during his temptation. Luke chapter 4, 10 and 11. Jesus, however, refused to be drawn into temptation and rebuked Satan with scripture. My friends, don't allow Satan to rob you of the comfort of this psalm. Psalm 91 teaches us that no matter what happens to the genuine born-again child of God, no matter how dark the hour may be, we can say with confidence, I will not fear, and my faith will overcome enemy attacks. This psalm has brought great comfort to literally thousands and millions of people through the passage of history, and to thousands more during the last 18 months facing a deadly virus. And this should encourage us to know that anything we do for the Lord, no matter how insignificant it may appear and seem at the present, can touch many, many lives, not just for our present, but for future generations. So during this difficult time, let us do all we can to bless others under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. And who knows how much impact it will have. I was invited to a 90th birthday with my wife yesterday evening, and the person who had invited us, lovely Christian man, I think deliberately put me on a table with four atheists. One of the very first questions one of them asked me was, how do you know David? So I said, well, we're both Christians, I'm an evangelist, and we're both members also of the Gideons, handing out New Testaments and Psalms. And I said, as it so happens, And I took out of my pocket, where I always carry one, unless I've just given it to somebody, a New Testament and Psalms. Well, she went very quiet, but she had my company for 2.5 hours. So every now and again, isn't it interesting that atheists or agnostics will, if you give them the right answers, will drip feed back to you other questions. I said, I'm a preacher as well. What is preaching? And I was thinking about how could I explain this simply rather than theologically. And I thought, no better answer than what my 10-year-old gave to me when I said I was preaching last Sunday morning. She said, what is preaching, Grandad? And as I stood there looking down into these bright eyes, she said, is it that you explain the passage of the Bible? And I thought, that's no better answer, really, that you're going to explain God's word to a needy world. This psalm can be linked with Psalm 90, which is also anonymous. Psalm 90 tells of the sovereignty of God, whilst 91 talks about God's tenderness. Psalm 90 is full of trouble and fear. 91, he is no longer afraid. 90, man confesses his sin. But 91, God acknowledges his man's love. 90 is a prayer for satisfaction. 91 is one of that promises of it. Psalm 91 is one of those special psalms committed to heart by millions of people who have turned to it with thankfulness. And many, many people will read it every single day of their life. So I have broken this psalm down into three headings. The first one, covering verses 1 to 8, promises of protection. Verses 9 to 13, safe from evil. And then the third heading, we are safe forever if we trust the love of God. And I really do love those last few verses, which I will read to you twice, just for the impact. So, the first section, promises of protection. Look carefully at the first four verses, because they have four names for Almighty God. God is first called the Most High. And when you refer to God as your Most High, it cuts every thread down to its proper size, don't you think? Secondly, he's called the Almighty. Thirdly, God is referred to as the Lord or Yahweh. And lastly, he refers to God as my God. So we have Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, and my God. Don't you find that impressive? And I believe it speaks of how important God is and how protective God is. Verses 1 to 4 of the psalm also illustrate at least seven powerful symbols of God's protection. They are, firstly, his shelter, verse 1. We hear of many shelters today, including nuclear shelters, bomb shelters, doomsday shelters. And perhaps one day, we may even hear of virus shelters. Can we reflect on God's shelter as well? Secondly, his shadow, also verse 1. The safest place in the world is a shadow if it is the shadow of the Lord Almighty. In 2001, some of you here will probably have heard me speak when I came back from Uganda. In 2001, the Gideons had a two-week outreach to Uganda. There were 30 of us due to go on it. But because of September the 11th, which was the month before we actually flew out, the Americans fell out backwards not to go on it. And the leader, an American from Texas, outspoken man, said, brothers, that's not an American accent, but you can imagine it. The safest place on earth is in the shadow of the Almighty. No harm came to us. We were told not to go anywhere near Muslim schools or a big Muslim university. And because we'd been cut down from 30 just to a team of 9, we didn't think we would cover half the schools we wanted. But the leader said to me, "You're the only British man on this outing. Would you be willing to run 2 teams?" I said I would, but what I'd like to do, because in Britain, our wives work with us. They're not allowed to in America. I said, I'd like my teams to be made up of men and women, because I think that would have an impact as well. We got lost one day. Well, it was the day before it all should have finished. And we couldn't find these 3 schools we were looking for. And suddenly I saw in the distance what I thought was a school, and it was. As we got closer, the driver put his foot on the brake and stopped. He said, "It's a Muslim school, Brother John." I said, "Well, we're lost." We were outside in the countryside, no street names, even in the city. I said, "We've got to go and ask permission. You lot pray and I'll walk up to the school." And I went in and I spoke to the vice principal. Well, I spoke to the principal to begin with. He handed me over to the vice principal, who decided he would come with us on this outing and show us not 3 schools, but 4 schools, one we didn't even know about. And I'd said to the women in the car, who always prayed, I said, "I think it'd be better if you don't pray." They prayed prayers about the redeeming blood of Christ, which I didn't think would go down too well with the vice principal of a Muslim. What they did do was sing Fanny Crosby and Frances Ridley Havergal gospel songs, which also was full of the gospel and the blood of Christ, but set to music. And this man at the end of the 4 schools said to me, "Your religion is a joyful religion. I wish I had this. I wonder if you'd come and do a presentation to our school." And I said, we don't do a presentation unless we've got sufficient testaments. I'm not sure how many we've got left in the back of the car. And to be quite honest, I cannot remember the number now, but it was certainly a box, so it was 100. I think it was 110. So how many pupils do you think were in that school and staff? 110. And having done it, the principal said, "Are you going into the university and the high school, our high school?" And I said, "I don't think so." "I think you should," he said. So he rang ahead and we got the chance of handing testaments to Muslim students and then to Muslim high school students. I was nearly excommunicated from the Gideons on the spot because I'd broken the rules, but nobody refused. Everyone took a New Testament and Psalms, and I was allowed to preach and read from the scriptures. Our God is great and good and protective, and he opened those doors for us. It's a refuge, verse 2, a place that provides protection or shelter from danger. Also in verse 2, it's a fortress providing protection to a city. Verse 4, his wings, representing the tenderness with which a mother bird protects her offspring. Also verse 4, a shield used in times of war and which can be used now when the enemy fires his darts at us. We are again now in the middle of a very different but dangerous war, dear friends. Rampart, verse 4. We went on holiday beginning of August, my wife and I. We went to see her sister, really, and then a dear friend of ours in the Lake District. But we decided, having been to see her sister in Chesterlow Street, we'd go on and spend some time in Northumberland, where I'd never been. My poor wife, you can pray for her. I marched around. They've got 70 castles, by the way. I marched her around 8 castles during that week. She's very forgiving, is Jennifer. I did allow her, note the words, I hope the ladies will speak to me afterwards. I did say to her, "Look, let's go to Annick Gardens and on to Lindisfarne." So we went to Holy Island, and that was a if you like, a respite from wandering around these historic castles. But what reminded me was the ramparts, which still stand today, over 1,000 years on in many cases. And many of these castles, although they're ruins, could be lived in, like Bamborough Castle is, and Alnwick Castle, where the Percy family live. So as we consider the seven symbols of protection, let's be truly encouraged by the defense mechanism the Lord has given us. Why then should we allow fear and anxiety to overwhelm us? Verse 3 and 5 and 6 show us the stark reality of two threats we face. In the threat from enemies, fowler's snares and arrows, and the terror of disease, epidemics, pestilence and plagues. However, we are assured once again of God's protection. He protects us at all times of the day and also of the night. Day darkness, midday. This protection is further emphasized in verse 7. And as I was reflecting on verse 7 and the reference to 1,000 and 10,000 falling, it seems so very similar to what we are experiencing around the world today. However, at this crucial time, I would like to suggest that we look at things from a different perspective. It tells us that we can find God's help and guidance whenever we join together in agreement in prayer. That is why the weekly prayer meeting is so important. We read in Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another." So let us pray together for an end to the spread of COVID-19. And for a medical solution to be found speedily for the future. Let's pray for the thousands of families that have lost loved ones. And also let us pray for the thousands affected at present and the thousands on the front line battling the virus. Our eldest daughter is a doctor. Sometimes she spends 18 hours on the front line with the people coming in. And she gets so cross with people who say, you know, this is all made up. This is a government ploy. This is not a true virus. Our prayers can reach out to thousands because the living God still answers prayer. And let us also pray that after decades of abuse by man, this beautiful earth the Lord has given us will be rejuvenated and healed as it goes through a period of rest. Have you noticed how the flowers are brighter and often have larger blooms this year? Jennifer and I were informed earlier on in the spring by the head gardeners at two National Trust properties that they felt that this was due to lack of pollution in 2020. So, point two, safe from evil, verses 9 to 13. Verses 9 to 10 correspond with verses 1 to 2. They bring reassurance of God's protection, and that protection is further emphasized in verses 11 to 12 through the ministry of his holy angels. A Bible commentary says, God's tender care is such that he even supplies a celestial bodyguard around the believer who carries him along the rock-strewn road. My friends, in these difficult times, let's be grounded in the promises of God's holy word, and let's share his powerful word whenever we can. Let's also humble ourselves in his presence and desire to honor him in every way. You don't have to be a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist to spread the gospel. You just need to chat it. People will tell you how the football teams have done, or the cricket teams or the tennis teams, to complete strangers. We can do the same by telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 brings in the challenge of wild beasts, as reflected in the imagery of the ferocity of a lion and the poison of a cobra. This is illustrated again in verse 13 through the references to the great lion and the serpent. And it's good to remind ourselves that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. In Genesis 3, Satan also came in the guise of a serpent to tempt Adam and Eve. However, we are once again assured of victory, that we will tread and that we will trample as we resist him. And so to the third point. We are safe, however, if we truly love God. Verses 14 to 16. In the final three verses, God's promises are proclaimed on the people who trust in or love God. Eight such promises are assured for those who firstly love the Lord, secondly acknowledge his name, and thirdly call upon him. They are, verse 14, I will rescue him. I will protect him, again verse 14. Verse 15, I will answer him. Verse 15, I will be with him in trouble. Verse 15, I will deliver him. Verse 15, I will honor him. And then in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him. And also verse 16, I will show him my salvation. I'm going to read those verses from the Bible. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I think that deserves either a hallelujah or an amen. Amen. Amen, yes. So in conclusion, if you go the way of worldliness, don't expect the angels to protect you along the path. If you go your own way, don't expect the angels to protect you along your path. If you want the king's protection, follow the king's highway. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But some of you may be thinking, but what about Jim Elliot and his four friends? They walked the king's highway and they were speared to death. Where was God's angels then? Where was God's protection for them? Jesus told the 12, you will be delivered up, and some of you they will put to death, but not a hair of your head will perish. You can gain life, even in death, by staying in Christ's shadow. A martyr's widow can say, her dead husband is in the shadow of the Almighty. Even in death, my friends, you will never be more alive. So in closing, I pray that this talk will encourage you and give you new hope for today. That these thoughts will help you face life in the midst of the difficult challenges around us. Comfort in times of trouble. So Lord, stir in us a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing is also certain, and it is that death will come to all of us one day, with or without a virus. But isn't it a great blessing to know that we have a Savior who has opened the door to heaven and to eternal life? Therefore, let no fear cloud your heart, for nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it may be you have no assurance of eternal life. Let me encourage you to open your hearts this evening to Jesus and invite him as your Lord and Savior, because he is reaching out to you right now with his love. And we read in Revelation chapter 3, 19 and 20, I'm quoting this from the New Living Translation, Jesus says, "Those whom I love, I correct and discipline. Be diligent and repent. Here I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends." What an invitation, which surely you cannot turn down. And I'm reminded, it's a children's book, but it's good fun for adults as well, Treasures of the Snow, Patricia St. John. Anyone read it? Yeah. Well, it's the story of three children, Annette, Danny, and Lucien. Annette and Danny are brother and sister, and Lucien is a neighbor. And they fall out big time. They, in want of another word, are really enemies. And I don't want to spoil the story. It's well worth reading again. But Annette, well, first of all, Danny breaks his leg as a result of something Lucien does. But years later, I'm not going to tell you what happens. Years later, Annette sprains her ankle. This is all set just after the Second World War in the mountains of Switzerland. And she sees a light on in a house, and she struggles to it, and she knocks on the door. And she knocks, and she knocks, and nobody comes to the door. And it suddenly reminds her of Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens that door to me, I will go in and be with them." And there in the snow, she prays and asks Jesus into her life. And then she prays that either the door will open and she'll get help, or that God will send someone to her. You need to read the book to find out. So, dear friends, remember that if you are in Christ, nothing can separate us from God's love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.